Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Monash. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We have a great guest all the way from Melbourne, Australia. Welcome to the show, Dan Lazar.
Thank you, Victor. Nice to meet you.
Well, great to have you here. Now, Dan, you have a very unusual career path into the world of real estate investing. Maybe the place to start is just give us a little bit of your journey and how you got to this point.
So I'm a former tennis player. I played tennis between the age of 10 to 18 years old. Around the 18 years old, I became the vice national champion of Romania. Next step is that I went to study for 3 years in international business. Then I started a business, sold it after 4 years, started another business, sold it after 2-3 years. And now I am currently a property developer with $12 million under development.
And you're doing that development all in Melbourne, Australia?
Yes. So both developments, it's two developments, one development of 4 townhouses, another development of 5 townhouses. Both of them are in Melbourne.
Fabulous. So definitely not the typical career path into the world of investing, but there's no prescribed journey. There's many different ways to get into this. What were some of the things that you noticed along the way? Because at one level, business is business is business. It's got the same fundamentals. You've got to have sales. You've got to have product that people want to buy. You've got to market it properly. All of those fundamentals are the same. What have you discovered as you transition from one business to the next to the next?
I probably discovered that my life may be a little bit more easier due to my previous career, due to the fact that I had to be very disciplined. I had to do my homework. And those are perhaps some of the elements that when you translate them into the business world, they can potentially help you achieve a better result or increase your likelihood of achieving a good result.
One of the things I've noticed, having got to know many sports figures who have played at a very high level, is that there's a quality that's necessary to play at a high level. That's grit. And that same quality, that same attribute, is essential to being successful in business. It's not an accident to me that professional sports figures, folks that have really excelled in sports, also often become good business people.
Yes, I totally agree. In my experience, most tennis players that played at the high level that I know are somewhere, I don't know, between millionaire and deca-millionaire. So, and they've achieved this through tennis. So it just seems like the qualities that you need to succeed in sports are potentially very similar to the qualities that you need to succeed in business or in property investment.
Now, we've not focused on this show that much about what's happening in Australia. 81% of our listener base is in the United States, about 10% in Canada, and then the rest all over the world. What's happening in Australia right now, the phenomenon that we're experiencing in Western Europe and in the United States and Canada, we're experiencing in many ways a little bit of runaway inflation, although it's definitely coming down. It's a little bit more under control. How has the market cycle changed over the past year in Australia?
I feel like the situation in Australia potentially is mirror-like to what is happening in the US. So we had a lot of interest rate rises. We have a bit of inflation. However, inflation has peaked. With that being said, we are seeing a little bit of a market slowdown, but that's dependent on what you're doing and how in demand your product was. So if you're doing 54 townhouses 60 kilometers from the city, then those were hard to sell before, and now they're harder to sell. However, if you're developing, I don't know, 10 apartments with a park view, those were easy to sell and now were perhaps a little bit less easy to sell, but they still sell. So that's what I'm seeing here. People with good products are still selling, but a bit slower. People with products that are not aligned with the market needs probably stopped selling.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, a lot of Western economies are experiencing declining birth rates. I think Australia is no different. In order to have growth, the only way to offset that's through immigration. And of course, we've gone through 2 years with very little migration. The border's been closed. And how has the market emerged from the pandemic? Are you seeing a massive uptick in migration? How is that affecting things?
So as context, Australia before the pandemic was number one in the world at immigration per capita. So meaning how many people were coming here or compared to how many people are here. With that being said, now obviously we had a period of slowdown or where nobody came through. However, this year the government is realigning their targets. They were assuming that 200,000 people will be coming here. Now it seems like it will be closer to 300,000. So things are picking up, and with this, we're seeing similar, like in the US, a surge in the rent prices. So even though maybe the prices have stabilized or in some areas even decreased a little bit, rents are going crazy.
We're talking 300,000 immigration on a population of a little over 25.5 million. That's it's more than 1% of the population being added on an annual basis.
Yeah.
So that is significant. Is the country able to keep up with the demand from a supply perspective?
Not really. That's perhaps one of the reasons why in Australia for the last 40 years we've seen, I think, an average growth in house prices of 8.7%. So having that over 40 years is mainly driven by immigration, in my opinion. It's always the demand always exceeds the supply, therefore the prices are always increasing due to a number of reasons: the free education, the free healthcare, the lack of pollution, the easiness to conduct yourself in business. Perhaps that may be another reason why a lot of people are deciding to move here.
Canada is experiencing a very similar phenomenon: over 400,000 official immigrants on a population of 38 million, and also not keeping pace with the demand in terms of supply. At a certain point, though, 8% growth in rent, 8% growth in house prices becomes unsustainable because the population's wages are not increasing at that level. At what point does it plateau? What's causing it to plateau? Is it interest rates? Is it just lack of affordability? How does it end?
In my opinion, it's definitely the interest rates that are changing the game a little bit. People just have a less of a buying power, therefore it's a bit harder to go for the properties that they were targeting. Maybe before they were targeting a property that was 1.5, now they're looking at 1.2 maybe. So that being said, that I think that's the biggest driver. I feel like it's as if we're in a room and there's less air in that room that we're all breathing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, one of the things that we often see in areas where there is a lot of growth, especially when prices continue to increase, the way developers respond is by reducing unit sizes. If you need to get a certain dollar per square foot in terms of rent, costs keep going up, you need to keep charging more. The only way to offset that is to reduce the unit sizes, design a more compact product that is making more efficient use of space. How much is that a factor in your own designs and some of the designs you're seeing in the marketplace?
Yeah, I would probably expand that to actually a higher competition altogether. So you may design something that is more compact. You may need a product that is, I don't know, closer to a park or nature. You may not build, as you built in the past, some townhouses next to the train lines just because nobody desires to be living there. So it's a combination of a lot of factors. What we do, we probably spend a bit, we exaggerate on how much time we spend in planning by adjusting and improving our floor plans, just so we make them as close as possible to the market needs. And probably something that I've done that I think other people can do, I typically meet with the best 5 agents in the area while I'm designing, and I show them the floor plan, and they're sort of trying to sell me on why they should be the ones that are selling the townhouses. And I'm getting their input on how I can improve the floor plan just so I can make their life easier to sell it faster or for a better price. So that's something that, I think a lot of people could do, because you leverage outside the resources and you perhaps are achieving a better result.
Fantastic. Well, Dan, if folks want to connect, if they want to learn more, what's the best way?
The best way would be on LinkedIn, Dan Lazar or Dan Lazar Australia. I assume I'll be the first result, or on our website, herox.com.au.
Fabulous. Well, Dan, love the perspective, love what you're doing. And for the listeners at home, definitely connect with Dan Lazar at Dan Lazar in Australia on LinkedIn. And definitely connect with him on his website at herox.com.au for Australia. The link will be in the show notes. And in the meantime, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.